Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace. I'm Pastor Brett Walker. The Palm Sunday narrative is a very familiar one that even non-Christians know. More than the fact that the crowds welcomed Jesus one day and a week later condemned him, we today can learn from this text that sometimes the change we desire is not the change that God has planned. But rather than lament the fact that our will is not done, we need to counter our human nature and trust in Him completely. So grab your Bible, turn it to Mark chapter 11, and prepare your heart and mind as we join the crowd singing Hosanna. And now please take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Mark chapter 11. If you're following along in the pew Bibles, it's on page 48 of the New Testament. We come to the final Sunday in Lent. This is leading into Holy Week. We are ushering in Jesus as a king, but we are also preparing for the cross, for his execution and condemnation. So let us hear the word of the Lord for us this morning. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye do this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them stood there, and said unto them, What do ye loosening the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest! And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and looked into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, like those followers so long ago, we welcome you into our presence, waving palms of praise and singing Hosanna. Be with us now in our time of hearing your word expounded, for we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, how many of you remember 2008, 2009? We had elected a new president, and he was a president unlike any other president. I don't know about you, but I never in my lifetime would imagine that I would have voted for a president named Barack Obama. Not exactly the traditional presidential name. I mean, we had had presidents like John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and then Barack Obama. Not the typical name that you expect for a president. But he was ushered in under not your typical circumstances. Certainly being the first African-American president. Also, he represented something else. You remember his campaign slogan from that year? It was, Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And on that day when he was inaugurated, He built up the audience. It was a wonderful day. It was fantastic because it was actually on Martin Luther King Jr. Day that he was inaugurated in 2009. Couldn't have planned it like that if we tried. But here he said, yes, we can. But it didn't take very long before the people started to say, no, we can't. No, we can't. We want immediate change. We want change you can believe in. That was his other motto. Change you can believe in. And we wanted something to happen right then. And when he was elected or when he was inaugurated, the change didn't happen fast enough for a lot of people. And so his popularity waned and declined to pretty much the lowest point that it had ever been. And I think that if they hadn't captured and killed Osama bin Laden in 2011 when they did, he might not have been reelected in 2012. But it happened the way it happened. Now here we are in his second term, and there's still people who say he hasn't done enough. Despite the fact that the economy has come back pretty well, despite the fact that people have health care today that didn't have health care when he took office, it's not change that we can believe in. We want something else. We want something different. We want change we can believe in the way we want it. Well, we look at this text today and we see a very similar sentiment from the people. We are told in verse 1, they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany. At the Mount of Olives. It's very important that he came to the Mount of Olives. You know, we read the prophecy from Zechariah today in our reading. Also in Zechariah, in chapter 14, he said, on that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east. So again, he was fulfilling yet another Old Testament prophecy about the Christ. On that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. But he said to his disciples, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Now, we read again in the Zechariah prophecy today, it said, rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Why would the king be riding on a donkey? Well, there's two ways that a king can enter into a place. He can come as a warrior king, riding on a steed for battle, with his sword drawn and his shield up. Or he can come as a king of peace, riding on a donkey. A donkey is not an animal for war. It is a beast of burden. It is a working animal for farming, for agriculture. But notice he says, you'll find a colt tied whereon never man sat. This is not just a donkey. And in Zechariah's prophecy, it said, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, a young donkey, whereon never a man sat. Why would that be? Very much like later on when we read that Jesus was crucified and when he took his body down, they laid him in a freshly hewn tomb wherein never was man laid. In other words, he was laid in a tomb that no one had ever used. He rode on a donkey that no one had ever sat on. Denotes his separation from sinful man. Bless you. Denotes his separation from sinful man. God deserves first things. He deserves the first of our efforts, not the remainder of what we have. And so when the people of Israel were called upon to do their sacrifices, they were always said to use a young heifer, a year old, or a young lamb, perfect and without blemish. And these animals are not sacrificed to be made into food, but they are burnt as offerings for the Lord. And so they're never to be used for man's purposes, other than as an atoning sacrifice for their sins. They are to be used only for God. Only for God. And so this donkey had never been ridden by man. It was pristine and it was prepared only for Jesus. They went there and says, "If any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither." All up until now in the book of Mark, we have seen Jesus as a healer, as a worker of miracles. Now, we are done with his miracles, but we are going to see now his prophetic vision, his ability to see things that are to come. We've seen him still the waters of the raging sea with a command, "Be still." We've seen him heal the blind. We've seen him heal a woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years. We saw him raise a girl back from the dead. In John's gospel, we see him raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days being in the tomb. He was a worker of miracles, but now he shows that he is a prophet. He's not just a miracle worker. He is a prophet and a priest. He's been teaching all along. What he said would happen, happened. It shows that he has mastery over future events and demonstrates his position as a prophet. Now, we see this the scene that we have seen so many times. Every year we talk about Palm Sunday. Every year we talk about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They cast their garments onto the donkey so that he wouldn't even touch the beast that he was riding on. As they went before, and many spread their garments in the way. They put their robes down before him, their cloaks, their coats. They put on the ground so that the donkey wouldn't touch the ground. It was a sign of honor for this king. We've seen it before. It's not a new thing. In 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, we see in the coronation of Jehu the king, it says, "Then hurriedly they all took their cloaks and spread them for him on the bare steps, and they blew the trumpet and proclaimed, 'Jehu is king.'" For a coronation of a king, this is not an unusual circumstance. And for riding a donkey into the coronation as well. We see in the coronation of Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 1, says that the priests Zadok, the prophet Nathan, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and led him to Gihon. There the priest Zadok took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." And all the people went up following him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth quaked at their noise. So this is a coronation scene that we are seeing. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, this triumphal entry, It is a coronation. John MacArthur said it is the false coronation of the true king. Because within a week, these very people who were declaring, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," in less than a week, would be saying, "Crucify him," condemning him as a criminal, the worst kind of criminal. Just like Barack Obama, the things that he brought about, the change that he brought about or came to bring, was not the change that the people believed in, was not the change that they wanted. It was something different that they were looking for. They were looking for a warrior king. They wanted a king who would be their king so they could drive out Rome. They were tired of Rome's oppressive rule. They were tired of being taxed. That sound familiar? April 15th is coming. They were tired of being taxed. They were tired of the Roman soldiers ever present in their society. A constant reminder that they have been conquered. They wanted to drive them out once and for all, and be God's nation once and for all. That's what they wanted. They wanted this warrior king. Even in the prophecy of Zechariah, we read, "The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine. And they shall be filled like bowls, and as the corners of the altar." They wanted to have a conquering hero. They remembered in their writings that 170 years before, Simon Maccabeus went into the temple and cleansed it, threw out all the pagan imagery, and threw out the people. He won a great battle, a victory. And now the Jews celebrate that victory. They call it Hanukkah, when the temple was cleansed of the pagan idols. Now this same temple, 170 years later, is being rebuilt and refit by King Herod. The Maccabeans didn't rule for very long after Simon Maccabeus defeated the Greeks. But they wanted a conquering hero who was going to defeat Rome once and for all. And that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came not to defeat the oppression of the Romans, the earthly power, but to defeat the power of sin and death over each and every one of us. That's what he came to do. The people, they couldn't wait. They waited a whole 4 days for him to drive out Rome. What was taking them so long? Why not? Well, he must be a false prophet. He must be a false king. And those very people who laid down their cloaks for his donkey to tread on turned on him and said, "No, give us the murderer Barabbas. Crucify Jesus." Think about what they were saying when he was coming in. "Hosanna." Hosanna means save us. But even more than that, the tense means right now. Save us now. Save now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not a week from now, not a month from now, not a year from now, but right now. Save us. Save us now. Here comes the king. The king is going to drive out Rome today. Today's the day. Now. Save us now. They were echoing the words of the psalm that we read today. Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. "Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's what they were saying as he came in. And seeing him on that donkey, they were thinking those words from Zechariah. Lo, here comes your king, humble, riding on a donkey. And then the very final verse, verse 11, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Kind of an anticlimactic ending to this coronation scene. You know, when Barack Obama was inaugurated, what did they have that evening? They had the inauguration ball. Big celebration. You know, and the president and his wife would dance, and all these dignitaries would come, and everybody would celebrate the new president. And here's Jesus, comes into Jerusalem, and his coronation. He's welcomed as a king, and he goes into the temple, and he looks around and says, okay, and goes home. You know? Seems very anticlimactic, Mark's account. On other accounts, it says that he went in and drove the temple exchangers out. We'll read that later in Mark's account. But it says that it was late in the evening, so he went home, or he went back to Bethany. So on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the arrival of our King in Jerusalem. It's the seat of faith. It's the heart of faith. It's the place where God's presence is. They brought him in to sit on the throne. We too welcome Jesus to sit on the throne of our hearts. That's what Jesus came to do. Not to sit on a throne made by the hands of people, but to sit on the throne of our hearts, to rule over us, to drive out that oppressing rule of sin in our lives, to drive it out once and for all. That's what he came to do. You know, but it doesn't take long for the people to turn against Jesus because they didn't see the change that they wanted to see. They didn't see Rome driven out. And John MacArthur says, when Jesus doesn't give to the sinner all that the sinner desires, the sinner will turn on him. And that's true. It's true. We pray for things and we think that we're praying to God who's going to answer everything that we ask for, you know, and then when we don't get it, we turn on him. Well, God didn't give this to me. How dare he? How dare he not answer my prayer? We turn on him because we didn't get what we expected. But we got exactly what God intended. God is a sovereign God. And his ways are not like our ways. And he visions things for eternity. We think of things for today. And that's what the people of Jerusalem were doing. They were thinking about right here, right now, not thinking about the worldwide impact of what Jesus was doing. Not thinking about how it would affect the people outside of Israel. Not thinking about how it would affect people who are not born Jewish. Jesus, what Jesus did in riding into Jerusalem that day, he became the king. The King of Kings. He was crowned. It was a false coronation for the true king, as John MacArthur said. But he did it not the way the people wanted it, but the way that God had ordained it. So often we see that, well, we don't always agree with the way of God. We want things done our way. We want change we can believe in, not change that God ordains. So now as we come to Palm Sunday, as we sing praises to Jesus this Sunday morning, we are part of that crowd that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem as a conquering king. We are there. It's so easy when we're together to proclaim the kingship of Christ among fellow believers and like-minded people. But what happens when we get out into the world? The disciples were flying high, feeling Jesus' victory was at hand, despite what he told them repeatedly, that the Son of Man would have to die and be raised again. In the face of his death, his followers abandoned him. And after not being delivered in the way they wanted, the people turned against Jesus and cried out, "Crucify him!" Who are we to judge them now? We've heard this story so many times. We know how the story turns out. And yet tomorrow, we go back into the world and we live our lives in a way that says, Jesus, Jesus who? Yet in response to our doubts, to our misgivings, Jesus stretches forth his nail-scarred hands to you and says, "I am Jesus who bore your sins on the cross, who conquered death for you." That's who Jesus is. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, save us now. Save us from our worldly thoughts and our weakness. Save us from our desire to please the world, even when it means turning away from you. Save us from temptation. Let it not lead to sin. You did more than conquer Rome. You conquered sin and death, and in so doing, you made us more than conquerors. Hosanna, save us now. For we ask it in the name of Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you live in the Salem County area, you can join us in person. Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn holds its worship service every Sunday at 9 a.m. And Hudson United Methodist Church in Pettertown holds its worship service at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. And if our message today has touched you in some way, won't you let us know in the comments? We hope you'll join us again for Guerrilla Christianity. God bless you.